we just want to give you all of the honor and all the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. If you'll open your Bibles to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. I want to talk to you tonight about your hiding place. I said I want to talk to you tonight about your hiding place. You know that we all retreat somewhere. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. But we all retreat someplace. And some people, it's just, they just go blank and retreat in their mind somewhere. Or just, we called it zoning out when I was a kid. And they just zoned out. Or he's out of it or whatever. But I think that there's a better place to find for your hiding place. Glory to God. And in Psalm 32, hallelujah, thank you for your word, Lord. In Psalm 32, we're going to start out in verse 7. Psalm 32 and verse 7, it says this: You are my hiding place. You are my hiding place. Everybody say that with me one time. You are my hiding place. You're the place that I go to. What do I get in my hiding place? It's where I go for peace. It's where I go to be refreshed. It's where I go to be with the ones that I love and the ones that are closest to me. When we go home, what are we doing? We're going to our hiding place. We're going to the place where we belong. We're going to the place that we inhabit. And so when he said that you are my hiding place, he said, you're my default. You're where I go back to. You're the one I run to. And that has to be our attitude. Come on, even tonight. It's like, Lord, we're coming back to you. It doesn't matter what happened today or yesterday or even 5 minutes ago. Lord, tonight, right now, you are our hiding place. And watch what he says. He says, you shall preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. Hallelujah. I was with a particular pastor this a couple days ago, and he talked about how that if you're around him, you're going to hear one of three things going. You're either going to hear him speaking in tongues, you're either going to hear him singing a song, or you're going to hear him quoting the Word. I mean, just he's made a habit of doing that. And what is he saying? He's saying, I've made him my habitation. And so there's disciplines that go along with that that enforce that or create an atmosphere where that's the case. So it's got, you're my songs of deliverance. So how many know that we all go through things, right? We all go through things, but what are we saying or what are we singing when we're going through them? If we get to the place where we begin to say, he's my deliverer, he's my, and there's something about singing it that enforces it in our mind and our heart and even our memory, right? You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of the Lord. When do we need to have that all the time? Right? We need to have that all the time. So it's not just when we're feeling good that we should be singing songs of deliverance. I think it's even more expedient and important to do it when we're not feeling well. Right? When things aren't going well. When it seems like everything's against us and it seems like God is a million miles away. We have to get to the place where we just start singing anyway. Ah, come on. I'm a friend of God. You call me friend, God. And I just count on that and I rely on that. So again, where do we go with our hiding place? We go to find peace. We go to find peace. And Jesus said that he's brought peace between us and God. God's no longer mad at us. God's no longer holding us accountable to our past. He's forgiven us our past, and the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And how many know that there's a refreshing in the Lord? Come on, there's a refreshing in the Lord. When we really put ourselves aside and get into His presence, there's a refreshing. And you come to church to be refreshed. You go to seminars to be refreshed. You watch, you know, videos and stuff to be refreshed. But there's nothing like being in the presence. And I'll just give you an example. Like I said, I was in Spokane on Monday at a pastor's conference. And the pastor, Gerald Brooks, was the speaker. And he has lots of podcasts. And I listen to them. And I listen on YouTube. And all of those things. But there's something different about being in the room. Being in the room, there's an anointing in the room that just doesn't come across over the internet. But praise God for the internet. I thank God that I can pull up a YouTube and watch some of these men and women of God who have something to say. I'm so grateful for that. I have so many mentors out there on the internet, but there's something about going to the meeting, making the effort to go, to get there, to whatever. I think there's a blessing on that. Hallelujah. Now watch this. This is so good. He said, again, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. And listen to this. I will instruct you and teach you by the way you should go. I will guide you by my eye. Look, that is so good. He's saying, look, if you're in the hiding place, that's the place where He'll instruct you. That's the place where He'll give you guidance. How do you get to the hiding place? First of all, you must believe that He is, right? It says in Hebrews chapter 11, you must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You have to believe that He said and He meant, if you seek me, you'll find me. So we ought to be getting excited about the seeking part, because in the seeking part, if we believe what He said, we already have the finding. And in His presence, right? In His presence is the place where we can just be assured that He is going to guide us and to lead us. Hallelujah. In the hiding place, you can be instructed and you can be guided. Hallelujah. Let's go on. Verse 9 says, do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be hardened with a bit and a bridle, else they come near to you. Many sorrows shall be on the wicked, but for he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. You have to trust that God is with you. Come on, is God with you tonight? Is he there? Is His word true? Is Jesus really Lord? And has He changed your heart? Has He changed your life? Has He changed your mind? Come on. If He has, there's a place that you need to shout about it. Glory to God, even especially when you don't feel like shouting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, I'm on my way to heaven. Glory to God. I'm just passing through here. I'm just a sojourner. This is not my home. This is not the final destination. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's a song, you know, in the sweet by and by, it'll all be worth it when we get up there. I think it's worth it right here. And we'll feel more of the worth when we really make Him our hiding place. He is my hiding place. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, watch this, then you can run to the Father with confidence that you're welcomed in His presence. So I don't know if you have a quiet time, a time that you set apart just you and Him reading the Word, but just have an expectation that quiet time or your secret place is the same thing. And I am going to rest in that. I'm going to make Him my quiet time. I'm going to go, when I go into my prayer closet, I have an expectation of peace. I have an expectation of joy. I have an expectation of an audience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of everything. I have this expectation. He's there, and I'm going to meet with Him there. I mean, think about that for just a minute. Now, if I said, listen, I was talking with Jesus, and He said He's going to be at your house tomorrow morning at 7:30, and He wants to spend 15 minutes with you, would that be all right? Right? I mean, is it okay if He comes over? Somebody said, no, give me a couple of days to clean my house before He gets here, right? I don't want Him showing up. Or I need to do some repenting before I get... No, the reality is He doesn't care about your house. He doesn't care about what you've done in the past. He's already taken care of that. What He cares about is your heart diligently seeking Him, right? You are my hiding place. Come on. You are my hiding place. Lord, I have nowhere else to go, right? Remember when everybody left and Jesus turned to His disciples, the 12, and He said, are you fleeing too? And Peter, I love Peter, he stood up, Lord, where can we go? We've already seen the way. We've already been part of your ministry. We've already had a relationship with you. Lord, for us, there's no going back. There's nowhere else to go. And later on, He says, well, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. Don't worry about things on the earth. Just trust me. Just hang with me. Just know that I am with you. The Lord is my hiding place. The Lord is the place that I can go for safety and for peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go with me to Mark chapter 4. I think that there's some things that we can do to protect the hiding place. Let me say that again. I think there are some things that we can do to protect the hiding place. And what are enemies to the hiding place? Well, everything. All the anxiety, everything that's going on, maybe personal relationships, maybe bills, maybe pain in the body. All of those things can be enemies to the place of peace and safety. But in Mark chapter 4 and verse 24, Jesus said this. He said to them, take heed to what you hear. With the same measure that you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. I like this. He said, you need to take heed or be careful of what you're listening to. How many know there's a lot of voices? I don't know about you, but I've got a lot of thoughts running through my mind, a lot of voices. And if I listen to certain people, I can get really anxious really quick about this is going wrong and that's going wrong and this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And I can get really wrapped up into that and what I've really done at that point because I haven't been careful to what I'm hearing. I've left my hiding place and I've gone over into my anxiety place. I don't like it in my anxiety place. It causes stress. It causes pain. It causes frustration. It causes depression. But in my hiding place, none of those can exist. So if you have the symptoms over here, I suspect that you haven't been careful about what you've been hearing and you haven't heard the Master's voice who said, I got it all figured out. I got it all taken care of. If you've read the end of the book, you win. Come on. He is my hiding place. He is my song of deliverance. He is. But I got to quit listening to the things, that have no value. And the things that bring fear. The things that bring torment. The things that bring... it's amazing to me that And I'm not saying that we can't watch the news to know what's going on, but if you're watching the news, and I have friends who have Fox News or they have, you know, one of the other channels on almost 24/7. They're listening to that stuff 24/7. Well, I can guarantee you that they're full of anxiety, they're full of fear, they're full of doubt, and they're ready to fight somebody. Because it brings strife. The Bible says that where there's strife, there's every evil work. And when there's evil work, the result of the evil work is destruction. But in the hiding place, even if everything is going around, going terrible around me, I can know that as long as God's with me, we got this. Long as I know. Sometimes I say, God, are we all right? Are you and me all right? Think of that movie. I just love the movie, I love this scene in the movie. The whole movie, it was okay. But remember the movie Sleepless in Seattle? Anybody remember that movie? Well, if you remember that movie, there was a picture where the kid flew across the nation to go to New York City to meet this woman up on the top of the Empire State Building. And Tom Hanks found out that he made the trip, and he goes up there and he goes up to the Empire State Building, look around, and here's the kid waiting for this woman. And he was just, you know, panicked, and he said to him, come on, aren't we all right? I mean, aren't you and I, aren't we okay? Aren't we, you know, isn't it okay with just us? I mean, he was so panicked, but I think that there's times when we need to just go to the Lord and say, Lord, are we all right? And here's his response. Here's the one I've gotten every time I've gone to him with that. I'm not saying that he doesn't adjust some of my thinking or my attitudes. He does that. But at the end of the day, when I say, Lord, are we all right? He just says, you're my son. And I love you. You're my son. You're the one that I love. You're the one I sent Jesus to take your place so that you could be in my kingdom. He's never said, no, Bruce, you've blown it. I used to like you, but I don't like you anymore. I used to love you, but I don't love you anymore. You see, if I go to my hiding place, then the Father is going to give me confidence that our relationship is okay. But I got to be careful what I'm hearing. I must be careful about what I'm hearing. I must find things that reflect the presence of God as defined by the Word of God. Hallelujah. And if I truly get an understanding of the Word of God, even some of the scary things that you find in Revelation and in Isaiah and Daniel and some of the beasts and all of that stuff, you won't be scared of it because you know that you're in Him. And that He's the one that will get you through everything. And at the end of it, you're going to be with Him. Have you read Revelation? And at the end of Revelation, it says there's going to be no more weeping. There's going to be no more sorrow. There's going to be no more tears. For eternity, you're going to live with Him. Hallelujah. That's what we have on the inside of us right now. Come on, is that good? That's really good. But we have to be careful for what we hear. You got to be careful what you're, not only what you're not hearing, but you have to be careful what you're hearing. In other words, you have to on purpose hear certain things. Because he said in this verse, if you're careful with what you hear, then you'll hear more. If you're careful with what you hear, you'll hear more. In other words, Lord, I'm reading your word. I'm listening to your word. Father, as you direct me, I'm listening to worship. I'm doing all of those things. And he'll reveal himself to you. But that revelation will, and what I'm saying by revelation, don't get too spiritual. It just means he'll give you a glimpse of who he is. He'll give you a glimpse of his peace. He'll give you a glimpse of how he thinks and how he operates. He'll give you glimpses of that. And the more you get, the more you have capacity to have some more. That's so awesome.
That's so awesome. In fact, in Ephesians, you know this, but in Ephesians, in chapter 1, he says, I pray that you'd get a spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of Him. Come on, the knowledge of Him. That the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened or illuminated. That you know what is the hope of His calling. And I love this. What is the glorious glory of His riches in the inheritance in the saints? In other words, there's something that He wants to reveal to you about how you are His inheritance. You are the price, or the prize for the price that He paid. So in the secret place, you'll hear some things, and then if you're careful about what you're hearing, you'll hear some more things. And then you can hear some more things. And then you can hear some more things. And your relationship with Him will begin to develop and become stronger and stronger and stronger. It's so cool. It's so cool. Now go with me to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. It's interesting to me because the book of James, actually it's the name that the English writers put on it, James, but it was probably Jacob, not James. But anyway, it has no matter. The meaning is the same. The words are the same. But in James chapter 3, James was Jesus' brother or half-brother. They grew up in the same house. How would you like to grow up in the same house with Jesus? Man, that guy doesn't do anything. He's never in trouble. I'm always in trouble. He's never in trouble. Right? But James did not believe in Jesus in his earthly ministry until after the resurrection. Is that something? He didn't, but he became a stalwart. In fact, James was the pastor or the elder in the church at Jerusalem. And in the book of Acts, when Paul came back and said, this is happening, it was James that made the final decision. That's this James. But look at this in verse 2. For it says, we all stumble in many things. Aren't you glad of that? I like that when he said we all do it. Why? Because if we all do it, I don't have to look at him or Paul or Peter or those others and put them on a pedestal that, man, I wish I was holy as them, right? Or name whoever you want to name today, whoever you're, you know, the person. And I respect people and I admire people and I admire their walk with God. But the reality is that we're all in the same boat. He said in verse 2 that we all stumble in many things. Now listen to this. We're talking about the hiding place. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect or a fully mature man and able to bridle his whole body. So if we want to be in that secret place and we want to stay and we want to have the protection of it, we need to hear the right things, but we also need to say the right things. Right? There's a verse that says, you know, you guys are just crazy. How can you, you know, curse God's creation with your lips and with your tongues and then praise God with the same tongue? It doesn't work. So you have to be careful. If you want to maintain that hiding place and you want to stay in that hiding place, what you hear is very important, but also what you're saying is very important. Right? What am I talking about? Well, things like gossip. You think, well, you know, it doesn't really hurt anything. It's hurting you. And it's hurting the person that you're talking to. And it's drawing a conclusion about somebody that may prove, may be true or not true. And the fact is that God wants you to stop it. What does that mean? That means if somebody is gossiping, you just say, stop it. Or you walk away from it.
And if somebody is continually in that vein, because you want to watch what you say and you're bound to repeat the things that you're hearing, right? You say, listen, I can't, if you're going to continue down that road, I can't hang around you, right? And I just feel like if anybody is saying things that are contrary to the Word of God at all, then I'm not saying that you're better than them or whatever, but as a practice, you can't be around them because you need to be careful about what you're saying. Because if you can control what you're saying, you can control everything else about you. Isn't that awesome? But if I want to stay in the secret place, then I have to watch my mouth. And not just watch it for negative things that I shouldn't say, but I should also watch it so that I'm saying the positive things that I should be saying. Like what? Praise the Lord. You are my hiding place. You give me songs of deliverance. You are my righteousness. You are holy. You are my Father. You are, come on, Jesus, you are my elder brother. Jesus, you are my co-inheritance. Jesus, you are my Savior. You are my Lord. You know, you should be saying things with your mouth that lead you somewhere. And if you don't watch what you're saying, you'll say some things that will lead you somewhere where you don't want to be. If we want to stay in the hiding place, we have to be careful about what we're hearing, but we also have to be careful about what we're saying. Hallelujah. I've noticed this, and I haven't been around a lot of people, but I've noticed this, that if you're around somebody who is really spiritual, they don't talk much. They don't talk much. And you think, well, why is that? I think it's because they don't want to get in too much trouble. they're trying to be careful with their tongue. Listen, verse 2 again, it says, we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect or fully mature man, able to bridle his whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Just get that picture in your mind. It's amazing to me. Huge ships, and the rudder is just a very small portion of it. But without that rudder, and somebody on purpose pointing the rudder where it needs to go, the ship will just go and drift wherever it needs to go. If you want to stay in the hiding place, you have to have your hand on the rudder. And you're the one who controls the rudder. What's the rudder? We're talking about what you're saying. It's like, Lord, what I'm saying is important. What I'm speaking over people is important. What I'm speaking over myself is important. What I'm speaking over you, Father, is important. Verse 5, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set in our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. So what you say is important, that you're gauging what you're saying, and is it edifying heaven or is it edifying hell? And watch this. You think, well, you know, just a little thing here or there is not that bad. And I'm not becoming legalistic or dogmatic, but I've seen the effects of one lightning strike in a forest where the ground is dry. And it'll start just a little fire right there. But then the wind will pick up that fire. And pretty soon there's a whole valley on fire. And then the next thing you know, whole acres and acres and acres, and they're calling people in to try to fight the fire. They're trying to save homes and homes. But it was all started because one lightning got a little bit of kindling going. and it ended up wiping out a lot of things. And what God is saying, that what you're saying, it may just seem small to you, and it may seem like it's not that big a deal. It may be a joke that you've heard, or did you hear what George did, or did you hear what Sally did, or did you hear what, and you think, well, that's not that big a deal. I mean, it's not like I gossip about everything, but that's a little flame, right? It's a little flame. Now just get some wind behind that, and it can lead you places that you don't want to go. So if you want to stay in the hiding place, and that's what we want to do tonight, we have to be careful of what we hear, but we also have to be careful of what we say. Glory to God. Glory to God. For every kind of beast, verse 7, and bird of reptile and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Isn't that encouraging? Right? How do you tame the tongue if no man can tame the tongue? It's by the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and you becoming sensitive in your spirit to that still small voice. And the minute that you start speaking something and there's something on the inside of you that goes, don't do that, you become obedient to that, and the Holy Spirit will allow you to do things. And here's the verse I was talking about earlier. For it, with it, the tongue, we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. If we want to stay in the hiding place, we've got to, you know, first of all, declare that He is our hiding place. And we've got to sing songs of deliverance because He's our deliverer. But at the same time, we've got to be careful of what we're hearing, because what we're hearing can pull us out of the hiding place and into the anxiety place. And then we have to be careful what we're saying, because what we're saying can create an atmosphere around us that takes us out of that hiding place. Hallelujah. Verse 11 says that, does a spring send fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grape vine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by good conduct, that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. In other words, I am teachable, and I am growing in the things of God. And Jesus said this, I only say the things that my Father tells me to say. Another place, I only do the things my Father tells me to do. Wouldn't that be a great confession if you could really say that? You say, I only say the things God tells me to say. I only say the things that God is telling me to say. Now, there are a lot of people out there saying that God told them to do some things, and you know by the fruit of it, it wasn't God that told them that at all. Right? But for our hiding place and for our purposes tonight, we have to be careful of what we're saying. It's like, Lord, and this adage that I'm sure that your parents said, and my mom said to us over and over and over again, especially when we're pulling each other's hair out and, you know, fighting and doing all that kind of stuff. She would say this. She would say, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Don't say anything at all. And I just want to give you this picture. It's like, have you ever had words come out of your mouth and wish you could just go, I want those back. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that. And it's like the only way, once sound goes out, it's there forever, right? So the only way to stop that is to keep your mouth shut when you want to justify yourself, or you want to make yourself look good by making somebody else look bad. If you want to be in the hiding place, then you must speak what He says and not what you want to say, and hear what He's saying and not what you want to say. Look at this. Verse
14 says, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. If you want to stay in your secret place, here's the bottom line. You've got to be walking in love, period. Because God is love. If you want to hang with God and be in the secret place, you have to be somebody that's loving people, loving one another. Listen to what it says about those that are bitter and envy. How many think that you have the right to be bitter? How many think that some people have done some things to you that should equate to bitterness? I think we've all been there, right? People have said things, people have done things, people have misunderstood things. But here's the reality, is that bitterness in us doesn't destroy them, it destroys us. God doesn't want you destroying yourself. And I settled this a long time ago for me about the whole forgiveness thing. When Jesus said, if you don't forgive your brothers, your father can't forgive you. And I think, I want that forgiveness thing. I need that forgiveness thing. So, you got my forgiveness right now. You've got it in advance. In fact, I've said this before, that I refuse to become bitter. I refuse to be offended. I've had lots of opportunities to be offended. I get them all the time, actually. But I refuse. And how do I refuse? I forgive you in advance. And that doesn't mean that I don't recognize that there's some wrongs been done. But what I'm saying is that, Lord, I'm just going to leave the judgment of this offense up to you. Why? Because if I sit in offense and begin to stew over it and begin to speak about what they did to me, why they did it, and that bitterness starts to grow in, guess what? The secret place goes over here to this place of anxiety. And there's no peace. There's no joy. There's no security. There's no protection. Right? Because you're out in there where the enemy is and every evil work is afforded to you. But if you say, Lord, you know the truth of that. You know what happened. Deal with me on my part of the truth. But I'm going to leave the rest up to you and I'm coming back over here. Because you're my hiding place. You're the one who protects me. You're the one who takes care of me. I'm not saying that there weren't some awful things done to people, and there have been horrendous things done to people. But the reality is, God, I have to leave that with you. You take care of that situation. I just want to surrender all of my pain, all of my joy, everything to you, because I want to stay in the place hidden in your arms. Look at this now, verse 16. It says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. I like peace. I said, I like peace. I like peace. Many people have come over to our home and they said, it just feels peaceful here. And that's not an accident. That's not because of the trees that are outside or the view that's out the windows. That's because we don't allow ourselves to go places where peace is interrupted. And when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about in our minds and in our hearts. We only speak what is good, what is honest, what is right, because I want that peace to be in my home, and that peace is dictated by my hiding in Him and trusting Him with everything. He is my hiding place. He is the one that brings me deliverance.
And so we on purpose don't allow a lot of gossip, confusion to come into the house. Now, you've been, and I've been, to places where you walk in the door, and it might be a nice place, and there might be everything's in its right place, and everything seems to be just perfect, but you walk in and you can feel the tension and cut it with a knife. Why? I guarantee you it's because they haven't watched what they've heard, and they haven't watched what they've said. If they'll begin to do that, and trust God with that, right? Then peace can come, even in the worst situation. Make sure that you are saying the things that He says, and that you're hearing what He wants you to hear, right? So, Lord, I'm only going to speak the things that You want me to say, and if I have to put that bridle on my tongue, I'm going to do it. You ever heard the expression, bite your tongue? You know why it's bite your tongue? Because you can't. It's hard to say anything with the tongue clamped between your teeth. And I think for many Christians, it would be good if we. And just speak of the things that God speaks of. And there are many, even ministries out there, where backbiting and devouring one another over things that really don't matter. You might believe one thing, I might believe a different thing, and we all have Scripture to back up what we're saying. But as long as we believe in the blood of Jesus, as long as we know that we're, you know, we need a Savior and get the essentials down, then it doesn't really matter, and we shouldn't become enemies because you believe that the rapture is going to happen tomorrow, and I don't think the rapture is going to. None of that matters. Is it pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, all the tribs? That stuff doesn't matter. What matters is, are you washed with the blood? And if you are, then quit talking and spending so much time trying to prove why you're right on something else, and get outside of walking in love, because love is the thing that will propel us to where we want to go. If you want to be in the hiding place, you have to walk in love. You have to. Why? Because God is love. And He said that there's peace in Him. Come on, there's no fear in the love of God, because fear is full of torment. But when you're perfected in love, the fear has to go away. How do you get perfected in love? By being with the one who loves you and being in His presence. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. And I just love this prayer that Paul prays. Ephesians chapter 3. And we'll start to close with this. Verse 14, he says, for this reason, and what reason? Because of everything he's written so far. But for this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Did you know that you're part of the family? And home is where He is. This hiding place is where He is. And Paul's saying, listen, I pray not just for you, and not just for the ones that I know personally, and not just the ones that are in my sphere of influence, but I'm praying for everybody who calls on the name of Jesus. Verse 16, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. This is a picture, right here, of the hiding place. Paul's praying that you would be strengthened in your inner man by His Spirit. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but just break that down just a little bit. I'm rooted and grounded in the fact that He loves me. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's me, believe in Him should not perish but have eternal life. He didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through me, through Him, might be saved. When I'm rooted and grounded in that, and again, I love the term rooted and grounded, because you can root something by just planting it and digging out a hole and putting something in it, and the roots might start to grow. But it might take a year or 2 years for it to become so grounded that it's now at home. And God doesn't want you just rooted, I've heard it, but He wants you grounded in the fact that through Christ you have been made a partaker of the love of God. Now watch this. That you may be able to comprehend or understand or be... I love the word comprehension. Because comprehension means that I understand it. Again, we all took those reading tests where how many words per minute you can read, but that was half of it. But the other half was how well do you comprehend it? In other words, how much can you retain and put into practice and absolutely tell somebody else what that means? It's like the teacher saying, okay, you read that first chapter, what does it mean? And because you've comprehended it, you can regurgitate your view of what was said. So God wants you to be able to not only hear it and say it, but be able to tell others of it because you've experienced it. What? The love of God. See, without a firm grasp of the love of God, you will never feel at home in the presence of God. Your hiding place can never come until you know that you know that you know that you're loved by God. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You see, in your secret place is where you get full. And your hiding place is where the fullness comes. In knowing God and who He is and how much He loves you is where you get to the place where you're full of the Spirit of God. He loves you and He wants you to know it. And He wants you to know how wide it is, how deep it is, how, you know, the length, the breadth, the height, the width. He wants you to know it all. He wants you to know because that's where the fullness of God is. And you think, I can't do that. Let's read the next verse. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. What's He referring to here? He's referring to the prayer that He just prayed. God is able to make you know the love of God. God is able to show you the breadth, the length, the width, the height, and in your spirit for you to understand how much He loves you. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That's a reference back to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. It's God doing the work in you. Where does God do the work in you? In your hiding place. In your hiding place. So when you sing, You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in You. I will trust in You. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of the Lord. See, when you get to the hiding place, you're hearing what He's saying. You're speaking what He's saying. And His peace, that peace that passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Amen? Y'all get something tonight? Come on, did you get something tonight? I'm glad you came. I'm glad I came. Father, we just thank You for Your Word tonight. I thank You that there are ears to hear within the sound of my voice. And Lord, whether that's in the room or that's over the airwaves, God, I thank you for talking to people's heart. You who have been in anxiety, get out of that. Quit listening to what you're listening to. Quit saying what you've been saying and get back into His presence and just say what He says. Just worship Him. Praise Him. Your deliverance is at hand. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Jesus is Lord. Amen. 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 Amen.